This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual on this fine Sunday afternoon, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm here by myself. Not really. But Kerry Kasem is not here today. My co-host, my beautiful, talented, intelligent, a little neurotic co-host. Okay, a lot neurotic. She is not here today as she is on assignment in Las Vegas. So if you're on the strip tonight, you may run into Kerry Kasem on assignment in Vegas. But I am here with a full cast of characters, and I will tell you, it has been an exciting week. And by the way, happy 4th of July week to everyone listening. I hope you've had a great 4th of July week. And of course, I have to say week because it's already occurred, and we're on Sunday after the 4th of July, and it was an exciting week for me as well. And I hope you had a great week. I want to tell you about a show that I used to watch quite a bit, and it was called The McLaughlin Group, and it featured John McLaughlin, who unfortunately passed away in 2016. The show started in 1982, and a lot of you will remember it, where John had a cast of characters like I have in studio today, and we talked about, or they talked about issues. We will be talking about issues. I'm going to throw the issues out, and we have an incredible panel to talk about the issues. All of them have, I think, different perspectives on the issues. Some of them may share similar perspectives, but they will say what they want to say. This is an open forum. So don't think anything is going to be held back. I don't know if it ever was with John McLaughlin when he was orchestrating the whole thing. Genevieve, you're supposed to be taking pictures and video and you're just on your phone. I don't have a clue.
It's happening.
You know, you it's say happening. You don't want to come in. I say, put on your headphones, talk to them. I say, I'm never going to do it. I'm here to take pictures.
I'm here to do Kerry. Video.
All you're doing is texting. Kerry sits here all day during the show texting. And now I have Genevieve, our producer, who's texting for the whole show.
I'm really filling in for her, Alan.
Okay, well, I want to see that camera out and I want to see the video being taken. You're not filling in. I told you to come on the show. Get your mic. Get your headphones.
Okay.
You know, Genevieve's a professional, by the way. She's been nominated for many, many daytime Emmy Awards, probably 4 in total with Access Hollywood. She's producer, supervising producer at People Magazine Investigates. She's won L.A. Press Club Awards, nominated for so many awards. But yet she just sits through the whole show on her phone texting. She's texting Kerry. What, you're telling on me? You're telling on me? You're saying that I called her mildly neurotic?
I don't even think she's listening.
Don't make me jump in as her defense attorney, because Genevieve is an amazing producer, and I know that because she put me on Access Hollywood. So
that was a long time ago,
hey,
Troy.
I'm running the show. You want to be John McLaughlin, you be John McLaughlin. The voice you're hearing is Troy Slayton. Troy Slayton is a former child star actor. Star. I don't know. Were you a star or an actor?
Star.
A star is a great flaming ball of gas. And although I'm not washed up.
But you're a little flaming.
Thank you. I'm a recovering actor.
All right. Recovering actor. He played Michael Lacey and Cagney and Lacey, one of the kids. And of course, his big role, Jerry Steiner in Parker Lewis Can't Lose. He was also in Superhuman Cyber Squad as Amp. went on, because he's very, very smart, went on to UCLA and Pepperdine Law School, now is an attorney for Floyd Skarin, Manoukian, and Langevin, and he's been a legal analyst for many years on Fox News, CNN, HLN, CBS, NBC, Nancy Grace, Dr. Drew, Happening Now, O'Reilly, just about everyone you can think of, Primetime Justice, and he has a Ronald Reagan screensaver on his telephone. Troy Slayton, everyone. Come on, Wayman, stop laughing and start the applause.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you. Don't get up. I'll be here all hour.
Before we introduce the others, Troy, you do an amazing John McLaughlin imitation, much better than I could ever do. So why don't you tell us a little bit? I'm going to introduce them, but tell us a little bit about this show.
About the McLaughlin Group?
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing. John McLaughlin would sit there with three
journalists.
Wait
a second, time out. McLaughlin or McLaughlin?
John McLaughlin.
Okay.
Was it McLaughlin?
I'm just asking you.
It may be.
When you go to Nevada, Nevada, however you said, you're Canadian, Stuart.
Yes. So yeah.
What do you say, Nevada or Nevada?
Nevada.
Nevada. I say
now,
Nevada.
But I've changed. I've adapted to the, the California way of speech.
I've always said the McLaughlin Group, but now you're making me second guess myself.
Okay.
And I'm worried.
There's a town where you can gamble called McLaughlin, Nevada.
That's right.
McLaughlin. Laughlin.
Is it Laughlin or Laughlin or
Laughlin?
Laughlin.
It's Laughlin. Go ahead. McLaughlin. McLaughlin.
So which was it? Well, the McLaughlin or the McLaughlin Group.
Go ahead.
Featured John McLaughlin and three journalists who would sit around, or four, and he would moderate, and he would put out the issue. Issue one, do people who smoke marijuana, should they be banned from owning guns? Alan Gervey. And then you, Alan, would give your answer. They would all give their answers. And he would say at the very end, either wrong or right, and then give the correct answer. The answer is?
The answer is.
His opinion.
Very good. Genevieve?
Yeah.
Where did you find Troy?
On the internet.
That's where you found me for our very first meeting?
Yeah. On the internet.
Wow.
Match.com?
I can't remember if you emailed me
Tinder?
Or what happened. No. It was your agent.
Did you swipe right or swipe left?
Lois.
Your agent, Lois.
Okay.
Emailed me.
Wow, he has an agent.
Still.
I got to tell you, the other people sitting here also have agents, and I'm not including myself. Never had an agent, never will. But Stuart Bick, he's had many agents. He's a longtime actor. He's been in probably 57 movies. That's what IMDb tells us, and TV shows. Some of them have done very well, some really great movies, TV movies like Life with Judy Garland, Me and My Shadow. He was in Hollywood Wives, The New Generation, The Reagans, My Nanny's Secret on TV, Presidio Med TV, Law and Order, and of course, Grey Owls. I know that's one of your favorites, Stuart.
Nobody saw it, but it was it was working with Lord Richard Attenborough, which is was a pretty great treat, and Pierce Brosnan. It was a passion project of Richard Attenborough's about saving the Canadian beaver, Alan. Your favorite topic. Yes, you love the
that
Canadian.
That was the movie, Saving the Beaver?
It was about the beaver and, well, no, actually it was about how they were the first nature conservationists ever.
Wow.
And Grey Owl was the guy who pretended he was an Indian, but really was a British boy who ran away from home.
That's
for another show, Alan. Another show.
Someone else can want to watch that.
Yeah.
I remember I used to, when I was in Canada, I chased a lot of beaver.
Yeah, I know you did.
Is it pronounced Attenborough or Attenborough?
That is a good question.
sitting to Troy's... by the way... Stuart is now an executive. He's the president of Skypad Custom Furniture Design, and he has a number of clients like Four Seasons, W. St. Regis, Westin, Le Meridian, Bloomingdale's, a lot of people. So quite a transition from being...
That's right. I'm a recovering actor. I think there's a lot of us in this town.
There's a lot of us in this room.
including Genevieve.
Including me, yeah.
Finally, when that last voice you heard, who said there's a lot of us in this room, we talk about acting, producing, directing. He is a triple threat, but mostly from producing and directing. His name is Ken Kokin, and he has won numerous awards in international and domestic film festivals. He started his award-winning career with The Usual Suspects, producing The Usual Suspects, and second unit director. That's an Academy Award-winning movie. Two-time Sundance winner. He's had a lot. I remember my favorite thing is Fade In magazine said he was one of the top 100 people recognizable in Hollywood, I think. Top 100. That's pretty good.
People you need to know.
Well, I guess you need to know him. Captain Abu Rad, one of my favorite movies that you did.
Thank you.
First one that was done in Jordan.
Yes. Feature film.
Feature film in Jordan. Blood Moon, recently directed that. Your The Way of the Gun with Ryan Phillippe. That was a cool movie.
Thank you.
Back in the day, Public Access. And you also, we need to bring a legal connection in here. You did For Tomorrow, the Tom's Shoe Story.
Yes.
Didn't someone get sued for that or something?
I don't know.
There was some issue there, but... Ken has been on the show a couple times now, so welcome back to the show, Ken.
Thank you, Alan.
It's good
it's
to
nice
have
to
you.
Be here and with my face for radio and my voice for print.
So we got to start off with issues, but I think we're going to take a quick break now because I don't want to get into an issue and then we have to break. Before we take the break, I must say, what hat am I wearing, folks, here? What am I wearing?
The Clippers.
LA Clippers. So if you tuned in last week, I was wearing the Toronto Raptors hat. and I had We the North shirt on because, of course, I went to Toronto for the playoff game. Game number 5. And I'm a big Raptor fan. Raptors won. So I've been wearing my We the North shirt and hat all week. And then Kawhi Leonard makes the announcement Friday night, and there they go. The LA Clippers now have them with Paul George, PG-13. So my kids are excited about that. I actually posted a picture of the kids learning about Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers with this face that they were shocked to see. We kind of wanted him to stay in Toronto, but if he's not going to be in Toronto, we want to see him on the Clippers. We like to go to the Clippers games. I've been going to Clippers games for many, many years, and I hate the Lakers. So that all worked out pretty well. Any comments? Because we want to warm you up. If you had something to say about the Kawhi Leonard signing, let me ask Stuart Bick.
Well, you know, I guess one can say that the Lakers must have really messed this up bad, because here they had this opportunity to create another dynasty. They had the money, and how the heck did they let this go? How'd they let him go? I mean, they should have been begging him on their knees and brought him in and made a parade for him. So now,
it's called dysfunction.
Dysfunction. That's
dysfunction.
True. It's a total messed up organization, and it proves that he went to the Clippers because they were the ones to, the Lakers lost him. That's how you got to look at it. And now Canada is in mourning. Probably they won't recover. It'll probably be the first and the last championship that they ever win.
What's the guy's name again?
Kawhi Leonard.
Then that's not an island in Hawaii.
No.
It's not near Kanye West.
Kanye West. No, that's east.
You say near the Drake, five Hawaiian Drake Island.
How fast can you say the five Hawaiian islands since you brought up Hawaii, Maui, Kauai, Molokai?
About an
Hawaii,
hour.
Hawaii, Maui, Kauai, Kauai, Molokai. There you go. Pretty good. Yeah. All right, I'm going to take a break now. You listen to Gervie's Law. This crazy hour will continue after this break.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. The Gervy Group. I like the music, Wayman. Thank you. It's like the McLaughlin Group. Or is that McLaughlin? We wasted enough time trying to figure out how to pronounce Johnny's name. So it's Alan Gervy here. And
Or Gervais.
Or Gervais. The Gervais Group, right here on KABC. We are with three of our esteemed panelists, Stuart Bick, Troy Slayton, Ken Kokin, and Jen Wong is
hey.
Now taking pictures because she felt so shamed by what I said in the first segment.
I didn't feel shamed at all.
So it's time to turn to put these esteemed panelists to work, as Troy Slayton would say, issue one. Issue one. Did I do that properly, Troy?
You did it perfect.
Thanks. Hot dog eating. Did you all have the good 4th of July, everyone?
I had an awesome 4th of July.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Shared it with good friends.
Friends?
Dodger game.
Dodger game. Nice. Right. Very good.
The beautiful lake of Lake Arrowhead.
Lake wow. Arrowhead.
Nice. Wow.
We were at the Hollywood Bowl. Nile
Rodgers.
And I know Genevieve went to a private show after the Hollywood
Bowl. I went
Bowl.
To the after party.
That's
and
cool.
you went to the actual Ooh. Show.
I went to the actual show, and it was fun.
Yeah.
I bet the he's, after party was more fun.
I'm sure it was.
I got kicked out, actually.
Why?
They found out I wasn't invited.
Nice.
That'll do it.
I can't believe you got in there. That's okay. So here it is, hot dog eating. We know that Joey Chestnut is the world hot dog eating champion. In fact, I think he has 12 mustard belts. He had 71 this year, I believe. 74 was his record. And the question here on this issue is hot dog eating, is it sport gluttony? And should we even be celebrating it at all? And it comes up because Peter King, who is a very well-known sports writer for NBC Sports and Sports Illustrated before that, he labeled the event as disgusting. He says that it's a shame that at least a fifth of children in America go to bed hungry nightly. And they're highlighting gluttony, treating someone who overeats excessively as a competitive athlete. Truly disgusting. Troy Slayton, is it disgusting?
Whether it's disgusting or not is not really the issue, you know? And it's great that he gets to put forth his opinion and we all get to listen to it. But opinions are like, bleep, everybody has one.
But that's not the point. You're skirting the issue. We're not talking about opinions. We're not talking about free expression or First Amendment. We're talking about people starving. You go to, excuse me, no coughing on the show.
Oh, I have a button for that, right? Where'd the button go?
The cough button. You go to Skid Row and you see people would do anything for a hot dog and they're just shoveling hot dogs in their face. Yeah. Troy.
It is a long-time tradition, a family favorite to watch such a thing. And if people don't want to tune in, they're absolutely entitled not to. I think that we should continue celebrating it. I love a Nathan's hot dog myself. And I think it's fun. And why should somebody come along and poo-poo our traditions, our holiday traditions?
You know, interesting that Joey Chestnut fired back in his tweet and he said, why isn't he criticizing NASCAR for greenhouse emissions or so many other wastes? And he could have talked about restaurants wasting food. Ryan Reynolds said it's unhealthy and it's ignoring world hunger.
Yeah, you know what?
Stuart Biff,
thank you.
Wait till you're called
I'm
on.
I'm sorry. I just can't help it because I think it's just, forget about world hunger. It's about gluttony, which is a disease that exists in this country. You have this weight problem that Americans don't know how to eat one hot dog. They have to stuff their faces on every holiday. And we have this, you know, a Michelle Obama tries to, you know, plant an organic garden and gets, am I allowed to swear? Because
no.
Okay. So I won't. I can't say it, but, you know, it's just, you know, why are we celebrating this? Yes, you can do what you want, but it's definitely not a sport, and it's disgusting. I agree with that. I think it's a disgusting thing to just stuff your face till your stomach expands, till you basically ultimately will vomit.
But it's entertaining, and yes, you can watch it if you want to, and enough people are interested that they're able to
sell. But it shouldn't be on ESPN.
Advertising time. Well, if not... ESPN's making a business decision, and if not enough people watched it, if enough people thought it was disgusting, then they wouldn't be putting it on.
Kenneth Cokin.
ESPN shows people, like, what is it, World Tournament of Poker?
Poker, correct.
That can lead to gambling addictions. So
that's true.
You know, I don't think, you know, we do a lot of things, and we celebrate a lot of things that are quite evil and lead to, you know, horrible situations.
NASCAR could cause people to speed.
Exactly.
Genevieve Wong.
Genevieve, come on. Genevieve,
wow.
Stop filming it.
I mean,
something.
I think it's an outdated form of entertainment.
Yeah. But people are still watching it, apparently.
But people are still watching it. I don't know how I feel.
Well, we have an American tradition of pie-eating contests, watermelon-eating contests, all these kind of contests.
A lot
of
contests.
We have contests for everything. So.
And I'll tell you...
why not? Why is it a horror? Why is it a sin? A nevera to eat a hot dog.
A nevera?
Yeah,
nevera. I think that's like a shana.
It's like a nirvana. So that's what happens when you put a bunch of Jews in a room.
Is
with
that a Yiddish word that I
Chinese
don't know?
Woman.
Okay, thanks.
Avara?
I got you right, though. You know, it's interesting because on July 3rd, I was really late at night, and they were replaying the last 12 years of the competitions.
Did they show Kobayashi?
They started after Kobayashi. Kobayashi, of course, was a legend.
Clearly, and Ken's a fan.
Joey Chestnut took over. You know, you'll be disappointed, Troy, if I don't say the answer is. The answer is, it is what it is, and there's so many disgusting things that we see on television today that if they're making money from it, that's what America apparently represents.
But is
make
it a sport?
Make money if you can.
Is it a sport?
It is not a sport.
Thank you.
But neither is soccer.
If it wasn't a sport, why does he keep winning year after year? And there's many people that are trying to take him down.
It's a contest.
Is it an athletic contest?
There's no athleticism involved.
He has to train for it. He has to train his body. He has to train his stomach. He has to train his technique of how he's going to get those things down in the buns. And some people soak it in the water and some people take it dry.
Issue two. Women's soccer this morning, the United States won the World Cup over the Netherlands in a very impressive performance. But the question is, should these players be speaking to the media and talking about politics while the World Cup is going on, or should they be talking about it at all? And of course, that comes up because Megan Rapinoe, in an interview, said that she's not going to the blank White House and that she would try to avoid the team going as well. And then teammates came to her defense. Ali Krieger, during the World Cup, was interviewed on CNN and said some things about Trump. He blasted her. Trump, I don't know what she was saying. She was saying that he gropes people and all that stuff. I have all the quotes, but we don't have time for that. Alex Morgan, when she scored a goal, she put her hand up like she was drinking tea, which became a controversy. It seems like, in England, actually, it seems like these players just are too controversial. Why aren't they playing sports? Kenneth Cokin.
They are playing sports.
Go ahead.
You asked me why they weren't playing sports. I'm like, they are playing sports.
Assuming that soccer is a sport.
Well, you know.
Ali Krieger said he's an abuser, a bully. Talk like that to, and don't talk like that to my friend.
And I'll tell you what it does. Is it, you know, I think that it will alienate Trump supporters from watching her games. And if she wants to lose half of her fan base, that's fine. It's her prerogative. You know, when these actors come out and there's been a couple actors that came out, and you guys would probably know who I'm talking about, who said Republicans buy tickets too, so they don't give their political opinion. And I think that it's their choice. If they want to alienate people and not have them watch their games because they don't agree with their politics, that's their own funeral.
But is it short-sighted, Ken, to be able to say these things, not thinking that there are people who may love soccer, but also may agree with some of the president's policies and they don't think that he's a bully or sexist or he's against lesbians and gays and everyone else.
And they're going to risk losing Trump supporters viewing their TV show. Maybe they don't care. But then they can't complain that they're not getting enough viewers.
Listen, she's asked the question, right? This is the problem with this country. Everything is politics. Everything has become politics. Every time an athlete goes before a camera, they're asked a question, and everyone's just looking for their responses. She has every right to say what she said. I kind of agree with her. I mean, she's a gay woman who's offended by a lot of the policies of this administration, and she's not intending to visit under any circumstances. And there's a lot of issues there with women in general, whether it be equal pay, which, of course, they're fighting for as well.
Is that an issue that just came up since Donald Trump was president?
It's not, but he's clearly vocalized it. I think there are other presidents who have said they want equal pay, whereas in this administration, there really hasn't been a movement for that. Even today, I heard him interviewed. He's like, oh, well, let's see what the, you know, how much the men make and the women make. Well, in fact, the women's league makes more money than the men's league. And the women winning the World Cup, I heard that.
Is there a reason why men make more money than women in sports?
Well, in this particular sports, there really isn't. In this sport, there isn't.
Reason?
I don't know.
Well, it's about economy.
More people watch the men's sports.
But it's not the
case. There you go.
That's true, but not in soccer. There, if you read about it, the Women's Soccer League makes more money than the men's league by like $1 million. It's look it up. It's there. And frankly, this has been a winning team for all these years. The men's team is garbage compared to this team.
So they are the best team. Donald Trump said that I am a big fan of the American team and women's soccer, but Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job. Oh. We haven't yet. And then he said, invited Megan or the team, but I am now inviting the team, win or lose. Megan should never disrespect our country, the White House, or our flag, especially since so much has been done for her and the team. Be proud of the flag that you wear. The USA is doing great.
Yes. And then, from the man who has disrespected this country on numerous occasions.
Ali Krieger then responded by saying he's an abuser and a bully. Is that abusive and a bully? We're going to have to wait till we come back because Troy Slayton is waiting to add his 2 cents. And we have to take a break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Yeah, we're back. I'm Alan Gervie, otherwise known as John McLaughlin. And we're doing the McLaughlin Group. If you just joined us, we have Ken Kokin here, who is an award-winning producer and director, most noted for The Usual Suspects. We have Troy Slayton, who is an award-winning lawyer and legal analyst, most noted for being a child actor, Jerry Steiner in Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and Stuart Bick, who's an award-winning executive furniture designer and former actor with more than 57 movies and TV shows. And he's smiling as he likes that introduction. Before we move on, we were on issue 2, which was the U.S. soccer team. And the question being, are they getting too political? Should they shut up and just win the World Cup as they did today? Or do they have every right in the world to talk about it, talk about Trump and not going to the White House? Troy, you get the last word.
Everybody has the right to talk about everything they want to, just like we get to here. But there's a time and a place for everything. People want to watch sports to get an escape from politics 24/7 that's in our lives. People want to go to their places of worship and not feel like they are being inundated with political messages. So I think that if her employers, the U.S. soccer team, say you don't talk about politics while the season is in play, then she has to abide by that. Just like I think the NFL players shouldn't be allowed to make protests during the game. But in their free time, when they're on their own, they should be allowed to talk and do anything that they want. But while you're on the job.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but
have but you heard of that? Murphy's Law?
I was on an episode of Murphy Brown.
Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong can also go right. That's Gervie's Law. And the answer is, Troy, you're absolutely correct. Just play soccer, be proud, win the World Cup, and they did that. Issue number 3. This week we had a controversy with Nike. What else is new? Is Nike's 4th of July sneakers offensive? Are they offensive? Is Nike offensive? The 4th of July sneakers, of course, featured a 13-star American flag, the Betsy Ross flag, at the back of the shoe, and it was shipped out for sales and then recalled after reportedly Colin Kaepernick, one of the spokesman endorsers for Nike, contacted the company and said that they should not be selling them. He was offended by the 13-star flag because it is from the late 18th century, a period of widespread slavery in the United States. Stuart Bick.
Yeah, well,
is it
You know what's offensive? What's offensive is that Nike has to commercialize everything by putting the U.S. flag on a sneaker that's going to get kicked around. The flag in itself, I don't think, is offensive. I think the flag has evolved. 90 years later, what was there, like 35 stars when we fought for the North fought the South? You know, the flag has evolved. There's always been controversy in the United States, and there always will be. So I don't think you can, you know, confiscate the flag or and say that, you know, it represents this or that. It's the beginning of our country, and it evolved. And I think they should have either not put it on to begin with, because I don't think it has a place on a sneaker, but certainly not pulling it for that reason.
You know, a few weeks ago, we had Ben Mysalis on, who was Colin Kaepernick's attorney. We should have asked him the question, although this issue hadn't come up yet. But he has defended Colin Kaepernick in his opinions and his perspectives. I'm sure he would. One person who did not defend Colin Kaepernick was Doug Ducey, the Arizona governor, who said that they should threaten to withhold financial incentives for Nike to build a plant just west of Phoenix. And he was very upset, saying Nike should be embarrassed for this fiasco. Yet a couple days later, on July 4th, he was seeing wearing Nike running shoes.
Right.
Good for you, Doug. Kenneth Gokin.
I don't think you should ever step on the flag.
And
if it's on your shoe, you're stepping on the flag.
That would be if it's on the sole of the shoe, then you're stepping on it. But if it's on the side.
So you could sidestep on the flag? You're okay with sidestepping the flag? I use my heel.
It's not the mud that's going to get on the shoe.
It's not a flag.
Okay? It's
a flag.
It's a representation of the flag.
Well, you can't disrespect
it. People wear flag ties. People have all kinds of flag clothing,
patriotic,
red, white, and blue.
So there's the point, right? Isn't that the point?
So wait a second. Ken is agreeing with Colin Kaepernick. That is a shocker.
No.
You're not agreeing with
Colin. I don't think it's a racist symbol. I just don't think you should step on the flag.
Troy?
I agree with the Anti-Defamation League that says that this is a made-up scandal. I think Colin Kaepernick is just
Kaepernick.
is looking to have a chip on his shoulder about everything. And the ADL does not have this as a symbol in their database of hate symbols. This is just the old flag from when we had 13 colonies. And this is not a symbol of hate. Kaepernick is wrong when he says that this is a symbol of hate and it's something that's been used by white supremacist groups. He's just wrong. And I think Nike was wrong to cave to him. But if Nike is making a business decision and they think that this is in their financial interest and they can justify this to their shareholders, then fine. Let them do it if that's what they want to do.
It's a lot of money that they put into creating these shoes and then just to pull them, but apparently they don't care.
Maybe they think they're going to lose more money by making Kaepernick and his
followers.
Well, the people that he influences.
The share price of after they used them in their commercials, their share price went up like 3% or $9 billion or something like that. So for them, it's a marketing ploy. It just gets more attention to the brand, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, it's a non-issue.
So is it wrong for a company to think more about profits than about rationality with respect to what you're all saying?
No, because that's what the job of a company is.
But isn't that a slippery slope? How far do you go? Where is your moral compass?
The job of the company is to increase the share price and increase the value for their shareholders. That's it. They're not meant to have a moral compass. Their job is to make money for their shareholders, and that's it. There are charities, and there are other groups, and there are other people.
What does this country come to, Troy? No moral compass.
There are moral compass in those who want to purchase products. You could use your moral compass to decide to protest a product or to not buy it or to not use it. And if your moral compass says you don't want to buy this product because you don't like what the company stands for, then that's absolutely your right. And that's what
America is all about.
That's how you exercise your morals.
That's what we're teaching our children.
And then they get time devoted to them on Gervie's Law.
Exactly. I'm not even giving you the answer on this. I think it's silly. I agree with Stuart Bick here. Colin Kaepernick should not have this kind of influence. If Nike wants to do it, then they should have done it. But I also agree with Troy. It's whatever they feel is going to increase their profits. Good for them. I guess that's the system we live in, and that's what we have to teach our children. But always remember, there should be some moral values in there, whether it involves a flag or not. Issue number four. You ready for this one?
No.
How big will the gun issue be in the next election in 2020? The Second Amendment, and we've seen how the NRA has apparently lost some of its power, especially in New York. And we see that they talk about the guns and gun control at the debate, the Democratic debate. They spent a big chunk of time on it. They did it in the last election. How big will this issue be? Kenneth Kokin.
How big will it be is a very interesting question, and it depends on the voter. So there's some voters that think it's the most important issue that they're voting on is their freedom. And they feel like if you take away their right to protect themselves, you're taking away their most important right. So for those individuals, they're going to vote for the people that make this their number one. I mean, they're going to vote for the people that aren't taking their guns away.
And Ken, just to follow up on that.
Yes.
What is your position on guns?
It's very interesting because I feel like gun owners are being stigmatized. In especially in Los Angeles, until I tell them I'm a sworn officer and I'm a deputy, which is a fact. And then
you're,
for some reason...
You're a sheriff reservist?
Yeah, I'm a special deputy.
Oh, okay.
So then once I tell them that, they're like, oh, it's okay that you have a gun. So, but that
but
really...
That- You don't care about if you weren't this whatever BS name you have.
What, Kokin or
no, not Kokin. I like that name. You still think that people would accept it?
No, I think that a lot of people, this is their most important issue. I feel like we're a country that if we didn't have guns, we wouldn't even have a country to defeat the British.
And when the you thing say, that, the wait, thing... clarify yourself, because when okay. you're saying it's the most important issue, you're talking about the right to bear arms, and you're not talking about gun control per some of the Democratic debaters.
Yeah, and I honestly think that on the conservative side, it's a very important issue, that they are going to vote for somebody who allows them to have guns. And on the left, they are not. They are going to vote. They don't make it. They don't make banning guns their number one issue.
Stuart Bick, 1 minute.
You know, I think it's your question was about gun control. I don't think there's anyone on the left that is saying, or for the most part, that is saying, get rid of the guns. They're just saying there needs to be smart gun laws. There needs to be. It's about registering guns. It's about getting. You know, some of these assault weapons off the market. It's about you know, having proper checks and balances. You don't drive your car without going through proper instruction how to drop a car. You have car insurance. You have responsibility. It's a dangerous weapon. And in some of these states, literally, you can buy them out of the back of your car. In places like Virginia, you can open up the trunk and sell it to somebody. I mean, it's
Ken,
just...
You agree with that? 10 seconds.
No.
Why
not? It's
true.
Well, driving, no. Well, driving is a privilege. Having a gun is a right.
Okay.
It's also the Second Amendment, and it says shall not be infringed. And you just list a whole bunch of infringements.
But you're saying, but there's no room. There's been amendments to the Constitution. The guns, they were talking about little muskets that they had that you could load.
It doesn't say little muskets. It says arms.
And it says the right to bear arms for for the purposes of militia. Not having...
contemplate 2020?
That's right. Could they have contemplated it? No.
Troy,
we
last
have many
word,
things.
5 seconds.
Guns will be a big issue. And I think that those who look at the Second Amendment as a disfavored right do so at their own peril.
Genevieve Wong, 1 second. Big issue or not?
Guns are a big issue. I think outside of the main cities, yeah, I think they're a big issue.
And it will be.
Yeah, I say that because I travel in Little America every other week, and I see how big of an issue it is for people.
And are you a proponent of Second Amendment?
Oh, Well, you know what I think about a lot is what would happen if an intruder came into my house and, you know, threatened my life. And if I shot them, what would happen to me? And, you know, if their back is accidentally turned to me and I shoot them because I'm a terrible shooter, you know, I'm going to have to do time. And I don't want to do that. So what's the point of shooting anybody?
I thought you were going down the Carrie Kasem theory of guns, but you took a twist along the way. Because she always says on the show she's 5'5". She's going to have her gun. She's going to shoot whoever she wants to shoot. We got to take a break. You listen to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, I love that music. I'm going to use it as my theme music from now on. The McLaughlin Group. We got Stuart Bick in the house, Troy Slayton, Ken Kokin, and Genevieve Wong. Woo. Having lots of fun. They're dropping the gloves between the breaks. They're going after each other. Stuart, do you consider yourself a conservative or a liberal or an independent midway guy?
Alan, I grew up in Canada. What can I say? I'm a liberal. I'm as liberal as they come.
Troy Slayton, what do you say to that?
Well, you would think that a Jew growing up in Los Angeles, an actor growing up in Hollywood, that I would have all the leftward leanings. But I'm a middle of the road kind of guy. I'm just a common sense independent.
Okay, Ken Kokin.
I let logic win. I vote for logic.
You vote Republican?
No, I don't. I've voted for many Democrats.
I'm shocked.
Did you vote for the Donald? Did you vote for him?
Yes, he did.
Okay. So then logic just went out the window.
Genevieve, left of left?
Well, I'm a journalist. But I have voted Democrat and Republican.
You know, it's so interesting because someone says I'm a Jew, I'm a 45-year-old something or other. I grew up in a certain environment. But you all have different perspectives. So anyone who says that we have, you know, Jewish from an affluent family, and they have the exact same perspectives, apparently not, unless you're Canadian versus American. And I don't even buy that.
And that's the problem with Trump, is that he's not building a wall to the north.
To keep out the liberals.
Those Canadians that have been mooching off us and not paying for their own military.
Issue 6, the conflict between state and federal legislation in marijuana, the marijuana laws. Troy Slayton, Stuart Bick, wait your turn.
No, sorry. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this may unify all of us. I'm guessing.
I'm not an actor. Only you guys.
You know, I just think it's about time that we just accepted what is the inevitable, and that marijuana should not be a Schedule I drug. It is not addictive. A confession, I've been using it since I was 16 years old, and it's not in any way been an addictive part of my life. I prefer it over alcohol.
You say that, but you don't know that other people think that. Ken Kokin, you've been using it for how long?
I've never even tried it.
I've never smoked
a joint in my life.
Wait a
grew
second.
Up in L.A.
Jewish actors, and never one's a smoker, one isn't.
Ken Kokin is saying that he never inhaled.
I never even touched it to my lips.
Why?
I never even had a brownie. I've had a brownie, not a pot brownie, but, you know. But can we?
Don't you see that there are some harmful effects, whether it affects your mind or your actions or not?
I could see some with Stuart Bick's left leaning from maybe that's too much marijuana. But let him. I believe in his right to smoke as much pot as he wants if he lets me defend myself with whatever firearm I choose.
My pot isn't going to hurt me. You.
How do I know? What if you're driving, or what if you have a firearm?
It's no different than alcohol, but it's legislated.
What if you vote for the wrong person?
It has to be legislated. It has to have. You can't drive high on marijuana, just like you can't drive drunk.
But the law doesn't stop you from driving high.
Well, the law doesn't stop you from shooting somebody with a gun either.
That's my point. Thank you,
Professor Slayton.
That's a bad point.
So let's not have a.
The law does stop you. Sorry,
the law does not stop you.
There was wait a second. Time
we had a McLaughlin moment.
There was a reason why I had Stuart
on one side,
on the left side, and Ken on the right, and in the middle,
the voice of reason.
Do I get to have a voice? Hold on a second. Marijuana is a Schedule I narcotic, whether that's right or wrong. That is the state of the law right now. Even though it is legal for recreational purposes in many states. And I think that's the way that we're going. I'm personally am a marijuana and cannabis agnostic. I think that we need to reschedule it and reclassify it so that way more studies can be done. It looks like anecdotally that it could have some good medicinal effects. And then for others, I think that it zaps their motivation and it keeps kids from becoming from living up to their full potential.
Do I sound like a parent? Are you disagreeing with Mr. Bick to your left?
That I think that it is potentially less harmful than alcohol.
But
I think
for
that
certain
drunk
people,
drivers run red lights and stone drivers stop at greens. And both can be dangerous.
Should we be educating our kids that there's nothing wrong with it and they may end up...
No, because we don't know that.
No one's saying it should be for kids.
I think
That's not what I'm saying.
I think that there is scientific
evidence. But alcohol
evidence.
Isn't for kids, but kids get it all the time.
Kids get marijuana too.
There you go.
So what you're saying is laws don't necessarily restrict from somebody from doing something.
Well, of course not.
Okay,
anyone
so then why
want.
Do we need the
but laws have
that
to be
want.
In place for a reason so that if you do break them, there's repercussions for it. That's why we have laws. There has to be laws. You can't run a red light. You can do it if you want, but if you do it, if you run a red light, you get a ticket.
But before, it doesn't stop somebody from running.
Nothing. Before we get to the woman's perspective, Troy, how does this conflict work as a legal analyst and expert between state law and federal law? Can someone go out because California apparently it's legal, but not federally? What do they do?
The Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution says that when there's a conflict between state law and federal law always reigns supreme. No pun intended, federal law always trumps state law. And so when there is a conflict, the federal law rules.
Women's perspective in 30 seconds.
I don't know if having a woman has anything to do with whether
Chinese perspective.
Chinese American. My perspective is that, look, I want the government to make money. I want them to tax things. So if they want to tax marijuana and they want to make it legal, then it's fine with me.
All right, we got 1 minute. Stuart Bick, what makes you happy?
You, Alan.
Troy Slayton.
Getting to live in this amazing country where we have the right and the privilege to express our opinions and to enjoy our freedom, that's what makes me
happy. Ken Kokan.
I'll just agree with him.
him is Troy?
Him is Troy. Troy, yeah. I'll go
with
Troy.
Thank you.
And I'll go with Stu. I think Alan makes me happy.
Stuart wants his turn again because he promised, he said, I have to ask him last, not first, but I changed it up.
It's fine.
You're sticking with Alan Gervie?
You know, my family, Alan, what am I going to tell you? Of course, my son and my lovely wife, Samantha, I love you, honey.
Just being on the radio.
Even though we had a fight today, I love you.
Running out of time. Go ahead, Genevieve. I got my time. I know how to do this. I've been doing this for almost 6 years. I know how to get out when I need to get out.
I'm tremendously grateful for my family and my friends, being an American.
And the answer is, to keep Troy happy, all of you who joined me today on this wonderful Sunday afternoon, having you here to have this free discussion and to listen to your perspective, that's what made me happy. And what does my shirt say?
Happy camper.
Happy camper.
What a great shirt.
Life is good.
Happy camper.
Is that a Canadian thing?
It is a universal thing, American and Canadian. Go Clippers. Thanks for listening. Thank you all. Stuart, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Troy. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Ken.
Thank you, Mr. Gervie.
Genevieve.
Gervais.
Hey.
We have to do this
see
again.
See you next week.
Can you get this gig going again?
Absolutely.
Every month.
Every month. Thanks. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.